It's the question everyone is asking me. So what do we do? How do we respond as believers to the government's overreach today?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So how do we respond? What do we do when the government overreaches, when the government calls for unrighteousness and is going to sanction those that stand for righteousness? What do we do? How do we respond? This is Michael Brown. I'm delighted to be with you today. As always on The Line of Fire, we want to be practical, we want to be biblical, and we want to be revolutionary in the Jesus sense of overcoming evil with good, of overcoming hatred with love, of overcoming lies with truth, of overcoming the flesh with the spirit. What does it mean specifically? What does it mean lived out? 866-34-TRUTH, number to call, 866-348-7884. A whole lot has happened in the last few days. Let me just catch you up to what is going on. Thursday, New York Times was the first to break the story, as far as I know, that the Obama administration would be basically enacting, well, you couldn't say enacting legislation, making an edict that all public schools across America would have to comply with their radical transgender guidelines or face the possible loss of federal funding of billions and billions of dollars. This was allegedly for violation of Title VII and Title IX, which from different angles, a civil rights and an educational angle, said that you cannot discriminate based on sex. That's one of the phrases there. The Obama administration said, well, that now includes gender identity. So as opposed to the historic meaning, as this was legislated several decades ago, the historic meaning, sex meaning male or female, biological sex. No, now this was said to include gender identity, even though this had not been the historic meaning, even though the push to get the Employment Non-Discrimination Act called ENDA, the push to get that through and add T, the T word transgender to it, that's been stopped several times along the way. So the Obama administration knows full well that gender identity was not up to now included in the concept of sex. They said, well, now it is. I mean, it would be like me saying that sex now includes hair color or sex now includes height. Oh, it's not an exact parallel for sure, but it is just as wrong to say that it now includes gender identity. Something that is malleable, something that is based on perception, ultimately, something that requires no absolutes biologically or any other way. It's simply how someone feels about whether they're male or female or both or neither or multiple genders beyond male and female. No, we're told, if we hold to the historic meaning of this, that we are now just like those that supported Jim Crow laws. What an insult to the African-American population. So I wrote an article Friday morning. It has since gone viral. You can read it on the stream, stream.org, calling for national civil disobedience, national civil disobedience, and telling the government, with all respect, we cannot comply. With all respect, we do not agree. For parents to say this, for educators to say it, you say, well, what does it actually mean? It means that in your daughter's high school, she could be required to shower and change next to a 15-year-old boy who identifies as a girl and participates in girls' sports. And if the school says no to that, they could lose their federal funding. It could mean that your 5-year-old grandchild in kindergarten could be forced to share a bathroom with a boy who believes he's a girl at 5. Otherwise, the school could potentially lose its federal funding. It is time to stand up and do what's right. The question is, what does that mean? The question is, how does that work itself out? And by the way, there's now further a further overreach by the government that even affects physicians and hospitals. We'll fill you in today. We'll get your holy blood boiling, but not in frustration. We'll have a plan of action today right here on The Line of Fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Our community does not deserve to be down here, trashed, mocked in the tabloids. Our community deserves to be up here.
Who was that? Does that sound like a woman? No, obviously sounds like a man. I know some women can have male voices and men female voices, but that quite obviously sounds like a man. It is a man. It's Bruce Jenner. We're supposed to recognize as Caitlyn Jenner speaking at the annual GLAAD Media Awards. GLAAD was originally the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation. I renamed them the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Disagreement. They're simply just GLAAD now. That's what they're known as. They don't even use the acronym anymore. But this was Bruce Jenner speaking at their 27th Annual Media Awards in New York City Saturday night this past May 14th. This is Michael Brown. We're talking about a Christian response to President Obama's overreach, to the overreach of the Department of Justice, the Department of Education. How do we respond? Now, I want you to understand something. These issues are part of a larger war on gender. I and others have documented this for years. This is not some Johnny-come-lately that I'm just joining on the bandwagon pointing this out. We've documented this for years. Anyone who's read much in the way of LGBT activism recognizes that the whole idea of the gender binary, male-female, that human beings are divided into male and female, that is considered by many to be constricting. That is considered by many to be primitive or patriarchal or out of touch with reality, to say that there are two genders and everyone has to fit into one of two genders. It is part of a larger war on even moral absolutes. As I've pointed out, we have gone from moral relativism, where you have your morality and I have my morality, to now reality relativism. That you have your reality and I have my reality. You have your truth and I have my truth. You say, well, how far does it go? Grab clip number two, Dennis. Family Policy Institute of Washington, on their YouTube channel, May 9th, one of their young men was speaking to students at Seattle University. And that they already have a very enlightening video up where they interview different students. And this young guy is saying, maybe he's what, in his 20s or something like that. And he's a short white guy, and he says, so if I believe I'm a girl, can I use the girl's bathroom? Yes. Well, what if I believe I'm Chinese? Am I Chinese? Well, yeah, if you believe you're Chinese. What if I believe I'm a child? Well, yeah, if you believe you're a child, you're a child. They go with all of that. What if I believe I'm 6'5"? Well, you're not. Why not? Well, because you're not. I mean, it's mind-boggling. These are college students, which means this is the ideology they're getting from their peers. This is what they're hearing either through media or social media, but also from many of their professors. This type of relative reality, not just relative morality, but relative reality. So do you want to see how far this goes? I was doing a debate some years ago. You can watch it on our YouTube channel, Ask Dr. Brown, AskDr. Brown on YouTube. My debate with Professor Eric Small on the topic he chose, same-sex marriage, should it be legal? It's a real eye-opening debate, to say the least. But he actually challenged me in the midst of this. Could I give one difference between men and women? I mean, this is on a college campus. This is a college professor. So listen to this very enlightening interaction. I mean, it gets mind-boggling. All right, it's about a minute long. But you're going to sit there. At a certain point, you're going to begin to shake your heads. Let's listen.
I think that gender is fluid, so if you want to use a bathroom because that's a place and that's a space where you feel comfortable and safe in doing so, then I think that that's completely fine.
I think that if whoever you think you are, if you're male or female, then that's the bathroom you should go into.
I think if it doesn't really negatively affect anybody, then I think anyone should be able to choose what gender they choose to identify as.
People, no matter what their gender identification is, they should be allowed to use whatever restrooms they feel like they identify with.
Is there a difference in your mind between men and women?
No, yes. I mean, possibly.
In general, yes. But I don't know why I think that.
Socially, currently, yes, there is. There is no need for that difference to exist, scientifically and logically.
If you think that you're a male, if you think that you're a female, that matters more than the biological difference.
There's not much difference besides what society forces onto people.
Oh, college students. College students. Is there a difference between male and female? No, yes. I don't know. I don't know why I think. Well, not really. Only what society says. This is mind-boggling. It is part of the larger war on gender. In my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, the last chapter is on LGBT and beyond, where things are going, the current trajectory. That came out in 2011. That was based on research for the 6 years leading up to that. My book, Outlasting the Gay Revolution, which came out September of last year, has a whole chapter on why we must celebrate gender distinctions, showing exactly where this is going. Remember, if you do not accept that fundamentally human beings are divided into male and female, then the sky is the limit. That's why Facebook 2 years ago had to come up with 50 ways to describe your gender. 50, 5-0. You could pick 10 simultaneously. We're supposed to endorse this. We're supposed to celebrate this. We're supposed to embrace this. We're supposed to put this in our school system so that the whole school is affected by this madness. What is the madness? The madness that we are supposed to accept all this. And then that wasn't enough. I mean, gay activist groups said, yeah, good step in the right direction, but not complete. Yeah, only 50. Only 50. Come on, sit down and start writing down all gender possibilities you can think of. And what, you run out after 3 or 4 or 5 or 6? 50. That wasn't enough. So Facebook now gave the option, fill in the blanks. Fill in the blank. And you could just come up with whatever description you want for your gender. And somehow, this is not going to be legally enforced. Somehow, the Obama administration is saying that this is equivalent to the failure to enforce this or to have difference with this is equivalent to Jim Crow laws. Yeah, I kid you not. Jim Crow laws. So telling a black American you cannot drink from the same fountain as a white American is somehow the equivalent of telling a woman you must shower and undress in the presence of a biological male in your locker room at the YMCA. Telling a 14-year-old girl you must play on the sports team with a biological male and then shower next to him. And if you have a problem with that, then you're no better than the people that enforce Jim Crow. We must stand up to this madness. At the same time, we need to have compassion on those who struggle. More about Bruce Jenner in a moment, but we need to have compassion on those who struggle, especially little children. They're certainly not gay activists or transgender activists at the age of 3 or 4 if they truly believe that they're a boy trapped in a girl's body or something like that. We need to have compassion. We need to have understanding. I've said it many times. I'll say it again. If a man comes walking into your church service on a Sunday morning holding a Bible in his hands and praising the Lord, he's wearing a wig and a dress, and he says amen to the sermon, what do? Invite him out for lunch. Spend time with him. Reach out to him. Get to know him. Build a relationship with him. Hear what he's going through. Hear his heart. Meet him where he is on his journey and help him find true wholeness and new life in Jesus so his insides are in harmony with his outsides. And if you've got a little kid standing next to you and mommy, why is that man wearing a dress? Say, he's confused. Let's pray for him. Rather than evil, pervert sinner, let's chase him out the door. And if you've got a genuine predator in your midst and you report that person to the police, it's a whole different story. And if you've got someone that's just trying to get attention, well, still the same thing. Reach out to them privately. Help them to know Jesus. Meet them where they are. And if they scorn your words and mock the gospel, then you address that. That becomes the central issue. All right, how do we respond to all this? What do we do? I want to go to the phones in a moment. But if you haven't yet done this, can I ask all of you, my team, if I am your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution, that means we are doing this together. This is a joint effort. May I encourage all of you, if you have not yet shared my article on the stream, start there, all right? Can I ask you to do that? If you have not yet shared my article on the stream, go to stream.org, stream.org. And when you go there, you'll see it as the most popular article just over to the right, a call for national civil disobedience to Obama's public school transgender bathroom mandate. It was shared more the second and third days than the first. Share that on Facebook. Share that on Twitter. Email it to your friends. Everyone listening to me on all of our great stations across America now, can I ask you to take a moment to do it? We've got a very short break. Maybe you can do it during the break. Go there. All right? Stream.org. You'll see it as the lead story on the upper right. Click on it, share it, Facebook, Twitter, email. Let us spread the word and bring public awareness.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
This is not the first time that we have seen discriminatory responses to historic moments of progress for our nation. We saw it in the Jim Crow laws that followed the Emancipation Proclamation. We saw it in the fierce and widespread resistance to Brown v. Board of Education. And we saw it in the proliferation of state bans on same-sex unions that were intended to stifle any hope that gay and lesbian Americans might one day be afforded the right to marry.
The voice of Loretta Lynch from last week, utterly bogus comparisons, and even the idea that redefining marriage is going to be compared to Jim Crow laws is a complete overreach. I've had my phone lines flooded with African-American callers outraged over the idea that gay is the new black, and even more outraged over the idea that transgender is the new black. 866-348-7884. How do we respond? First, we give ourselves to prayer. We give ourselves to prayer to settle our hearts before God and to ask him for his righteous perspective. Just getting upset in the natural will only go so far. Yes, we should be grieved and want to stand for what's right, but let's do it in a spiritual way. Ask God for courage and ask God for compassion. Ask God for compassion for those who struggle, for the kids who are genuinely confused, for the kids who are not sexual predators, for the kids who are not doing this as some kind of lark or game or silly thing. They genuinely struggle with their gender identity. Pray for a heart of compassion for them. Then I urge every parent, if your kid is in public school, to call your school district and ask them where they stand on this. Again, read my article first on the stream. Understand the issues. Share that article with others. And then call your school district. If your kid's in public school, K through 12, ask them, where do you stand on these issues? And if they say, oh, we're fine with them, we support the administration, say, well, we may be considering pulling our kid out. Now, you may not have the option to, but if you do, you need to look at that. At least the school needs to know. If you're an educator, find out where your school stands and then let them know where you stand. If enough of you stand up, the school, the bullies will have to back down. And then I encourage you, get involved in local school boards. School boards can rule on these kinds of issues. Get involved. Don't just pull out and then criticize the school boards for doing the wrong thing. Get involved. Vote out the folks with bad views and vote in the folks with good views. It's the least that we can do. These are just some things. There's more that we'll discuss in a moment. I want to discuss how this affects healthcare providers as well. But first, we go to the phones. We'll start in Alexandria, Virginia. Larry, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown.
You're welcome.
First of all, it's almost embarrassing to be a part of a country whose government is so easily to let our morals just deteriorate. But other than the moral aspect, my question to you is, how do they plan on, and we may not even know this yet, but how do they plan on policing this? I mean, I can picture a bunch of teenage kids putting a wig on, running into a bathroom, you know, and then saying, hey, I'm a woman. You know, are they going to have restroom security and that the taxpayers are going to have to pay for? Have they even spoke to how they plan on policing this?
Yeah, let's step back and say, look at Target, okay? Target stores, which have been hit with a massive boycott over their policies here, saying that any man who identifies as a woman can use the woman's changing room, the fitting room, or the bathroom. So Target's been hit with massive protests over this and boycotts. And again, you could walk in there, sir, dressed as a man and say, I identify as a woman, and you can use the ladies' room. And if the ladies have a problem with it, then they'll address the ladies. This is how things have been turned upside down. Well, Target has said, oh, no, no. Safety is our paramount concern for all of our customers. Safety is our paramount concern. And therefore, we are going to really beef up our safety procedures. Well, it begs the question, if anyone that says, I identify as a female, can now walk into the ladies' fitting room or bathroom, you're going to have folks that just do it for a lark to check out what they can. You're going to have legitimate sexual predators that look for every way to infringe on someone's privacy and to take advantage of the situation. There are numerous cases now, more and more cases being documented where men have come in and say, put their phone under the bathroom stall next to them to try to photograph women, that they've held it over a dressing room stall, something like that, to try to photograph other women. These things happening. So how do you stop it? If you went back 1 year, Larry, if a man went walking into the ladies' room clearly looking like a man, someone could stop him and say, sir, what are you doing? Well, I identify as a woman. Doesn't matter. This is a ladies' room, and my daughter's in there. You're not going in there, sir. Or my wife is in there, and she was a victim of sexual abuse years ago, and you're not going to traumatize her. Even if you're, quote, harmless, you're not going in there. Well, now you can't do that. So how, pray tell, do you tell the difference between the heterosexual predator and the, quote, harmless transgender individual? Let's take this one step further, Larry. And obviously, you can't police this. And in the high schools, you've got guys that, of course, are going to play around with this or see what they get away or just do something silly. How do you say to that person, well, you're not genuinely struggling with your gender identity? Well, yes, I am. You're telling me high school kids aren't going to take advantage of this or haven't? But let's go further with this. Bruce Jenner is still attracted to women. And we are constantly told that the vast majority of men who identify as transgender are not homosexual. In other words, they are not attracted to men, they are attracted to women, but they believe that internally they are women. They believe that they are women trapped inside of a man's body. So Bruce Jenner now, according to reports, is struggling because he's lonely and he's still attracted to women. One report says because of his Christian faith, he does not want to be in a same-sex relationship. Yeah, I know this gets bizarre, but pray for the man. So, in other words, he is a man, is now identifying as a woman, but he's attracted to women, but he can't be in a relationship with a woman because that would be a same-sex relation, and he still has male plumbing and all of that. So, according to some reports, which his rep denied, he is considering, quote, detransitioning and going back to becoming a man, in which case you wonder, was he ever a woman? Should we ever have referred to him as her? Should he ever receive the Woman of the Year award? And on it goes. Some suggest he should go back to being a man and get the Man of the Year award for being a real man. At least that would have some legitimacy. But all that to say, if Bruce Jenner was the man in the ladies' fitting room or the man in the YMCA girls' locker room, after they go swimming in the pool and they take a shower and they come out with a towel wrapped around them, that man who identifies as a woman and whom society tells us to identify, to accept as a woman, that man is still attracted to women. So how does that lessen the uncomfortable situation that the women are put in? And I can go on and on with that, but enough said. All right, so friends, please read my article on the stream. Share it with others if you haven't. Call your school districts. Sit down as a family. Many times kids are so bombarded with these issues that they can't even see right from wrong, even see the obvious. Have good conversations with them. And then recognize this is not a time to be neutral. This is a time for holy spiritual aggression in the best sense of the word. AskDrBrown.org. Tons of stuff to equip you right there.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Over the weekend, Clarence Thomas, Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, delivered a speech at the 164th commencement exercises of Hillsdale College. Dennis, grab clip number 6. I want you to hear what Justice Thomas had to say. He encouraged the students not to, to paraphrase, hide their faith in the midst of the political correctness of today, and also addressed some of the strange ways of thinking that exist in our society today, as if everybody is a winner, as if everybody has to come out on top, as if there can be no consequences for bad actions, etc. Let's listen to what Justice Thomas had to say.
This era is one in which any difference or different treatment is inherently suspect. Apparently, we all deserve the same reward, the same status, notwithstanding the differences in our efforts or our abilities. It is no wonder, then, that we hear so often what is deserved or to what one is entitled. I guess by this reasoning, the student who took full advantage of all the spring break bacchanalia is apparently entitled to the same success as a conscientious, disciplined classmate who worked and studied while he played. Perhaps we should redistribute the conscientious student's grades to make the frolicking classmate his or her equal.
It is the same kind of mentality, friends. You see it with children in schools now where they don't keep track of scores because everybody has to win. Friends, I'm sympathetic to the fact that some kids are good athletes and others are not. I'm sympathetic to the fact that some kids do better in school and others do not. I'm sympathetic to the fact that our educational system can not recognize gifts and abilities in some students, and therefore they grow up with a certain negative complex. We need to do whatever we can to find the gift of each child and to find the unique qualities and strengths of each child and to encourage them to grow and to affirm them. The one that is an expert mechanic may not be so good in spelling, and the one that's excellent in math may not be so good in phys ed, and each one with strengths. And hopefully each child can find a place of advance and find a place of value or find their character qualities enhanced in a positive school setting. But the idea that everybody wins, that everybody is entitled, that there are no distinctions, it's part of this larger mentality where everything gets blurred, friends, and it leads ultimately to societal chaos. 866-348-7884. Professor Robert George, Princeton University. He is a prominent law professor. He is a great constitutional thinker. He has said that transgenderism is just a belief that and that it's basically superstition to say that a woman can be trapped inside a man's body. Now, it is true that he is not a psychologist, that he is a law professor, but he is well-informed, he is brilliant, and he's not just, from my point of view, repeating the latest talking points. He tweeted out yesterday, there are a few superstitious beliefs, as absurd as the idea that a woman can be trapped in a man's body, etc., and vice versa. But in the age of feeling, with Obama's bathroom edict, the right of parents to direct the upbringing and education of children is in graver peril than ever, and he calls for vouchers, student vouchers, so that kids would be able to get help, to get parents would be able to get aid sending their kid to private schools, because right now you pay double. You pay in your state taxes, your local taxes, you pay for your education, public school. But then if you send your kid to private school, you have to pay twice. Yeah, good time to call for vouchers yet again.
Send it, Lord. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Going to go back to the phones in one moment. Before I do, there's an article. A bunch of different places. I'm reading it on stream.org. Ryan Anderson, and he is explaining how the new Obamacare transgender regulations threaten freedom of physicians. He says the Department of Health and Human Services, HHS, finalized new transgender regulations for Obamacare on Friday. These regulations threaten the religious liberty, freedom of conscience, and independent medical judgment of healthcare professionals. And just as they did in the transgender school policy the Obama administration announced this morning, the administration has created these new Obamacare regulations by redefining sex to mean gender identity. So Ryan Anderson and Roger Severino have in a report on the Heritage Foundation, they explain how these regulations will create serious conflicts of conscience for many organizations, hospitals, physicians, and other individuals involved in healthcare. So by prohibiting different treatment on the basis of, quote, gender identity in health services, these regulations will penalize medical professionals and healthcare organizations that, as a matter of faith, moral conviction, or professional medical judgment, believe that maleness and femaleness are biological realities to be respected and affirmed, not altered or treated as diseases. Theoretically, these people could be put under pressure, medical professionals, to participate in so-called sex reassignment surgery or sex alignment surgery that they morally and professionally differ with, that they could be required to based on these new regulations passed by the Obama administration. It's a travesty. And look, when you go into the doctor's office and you're filling out a form, you're there for the first time, you're putting down your name, your address, the whole bit, and they're always going to ask you, male or female? You've got two boxes, male or female. Do they care? Does that medical doctor who is going to give you a physical exam, does that medical doctor care that you as a man identify as a woman? When he's going to give you a physical exam, when he's going to check, say, a male for issues relating to prostate cancer or something like that, does he care that that man identifies as a woman? No, he's dealing with a biological male. That's why he asks the question. If that man checks off he's a woman and walks in there and he is biologically a male, the doctor's going to say, you're a man. Why did you say you're a woman? Identify as a woman. Okay, well, that's your business, but I'm checking you out as a male. Is that not medical common sense? Medical science 101? 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go back to the phones. We go to Des Moines, Iowa. Joel, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown. Thank you for being the voice of truth. I really appreciate that.
You are very welcome, sir.
I just had a question here. As we're talking about becoming a gender-neutral nation, what do we do with the prison system? How long before we have males and females being housed together in the same prison? I can't see that that's ever going to happen, but...
Well, here's what has happened already. There are cases of men who identify as women who are now in women's prisons, and that's where they want to be, and that's how they identify. And you say, well, isn't that an easy way for a man to now be in a women's prison to have sexual relations with women? Obviously, that could happen. But in point of fact, you do have this now. There's one man, for example, in Massachusetts who was convicted of murdering his wife. Then, once he was in prison, then said that he identifies as a woman. And the state of Massachusetts said that the prison system is now responsible for funding his transition to be a woman. And there was even an attempt, I believe it was in his case, to try to retry the case, if I have my facts correct, because to say the real him is a her and the her wouldn't have done what the he did. Again, it sounds like someone's making up a poor joke, but this is what we're dealing with. And then what about people, some who identify as gender neutral or asexual? For example, if I have it right, as a man to woman, but I believe it's in Australia, a prominent case, a man had sex change, become a woman, and then as a woman was dissatisfied and then said, okay, I claim no sexuality. Now, I am not, neither male nor female, and they actually have that now on the passport, that this individual has a neither male nor female passport. Yes, so what do we do in the prison systems and so on? Of course, these are questions that have to be asked because this is where the societal insanity goes. When there are no longer fixed categories, yes, there's a tiny, 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 tiny percentage of people who are intersex or who have biological or chromosomal abnormalities, and our hearts certainly go out to them. But you do not turn the world upside down on behalf of the struggling few. If I've said that once, I've said it 10,000 times. 866-34-TRUTH. So National Center for Transgender Equality says this: being transgender or gender nonconforming in an American jail or prison often means daily humiliation, physical and sexual abuse, and fear of reprisals for using legal remedies to address underlying problems. Many transgender people are placed in solitary confinement for months or years just because of who they are. That's unfortunate. That's tragic. I can't imagine the torment or the trauma these people live with. All the more then, all the more do we do our utmost to get to the root of these issues and problems rather than just say whatever you perceive is real. We know very little about how the brain interacts with these things. We know very little about the causes of transgender identification. There are multiple theories. Let's do our best to get to the root to help people find wholeness. 866-34-TRUTH. We go to our friend Dawood in Springfield, Virginia. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. So my question, Joel already asked one of the questions as far as how we're going to handle the prison system, I wanted to, first of all, real quick, thank you for calling Christians to stand up. I personally think the reason we're in a lot of the issues that we're in is because I oftentimes hear so many Christians who say, well, this is wrong and this is wrong, but when it comes time to not go to a gay wedding or stand up to your employer and say, no, I cannot support you letting men into women's bathrooms, many times Christians back down and are not willing to face the persecution. And, you know, oftentimes the way society is becoming is reminding me of George Orwell's book 1984, where the government is trying to tell you that 2 + 2 = 5, but you can't change what we know. And I feel like so many people are going along with it, and at times, because we Christians do not stand up. So that's my comment, sir.
Yeah, of course, it's absolutely true. And of course, I and others have been writing about how Orwellian things are. I've talked about it at the last inauguration for our president. I've talked about it in A Queer Thing Happened to America, the changing of semantics and words. Just think of this. Being tolerant means complete intolerance of all views that differ with LGBT activism. Being inclusive means you are absolutely exclusive to all those that do not affirm this radical activism. Diversity basically means my way or the highway. So when we are told now that biological sex includes gender identity, when we are told that someone having multiple gender identities is to be embraced, and if you don't embrace that, you are no better than those who enforce Jim Crow laws. Of course, this is utterly Orwellian. And of course, we're in the situation we're in because too few Christian leaders have spoken up and too few believers have spoken up. Listen, the more I speak, the more people listen to me, they'll realize that I don't have a hateful bone in my body towards those who identify as LGBT. And the more people will hear me speak, the more they'll recognize that, yes, in fact, I have agonized over these things. And I have walked the streets at night when I'm in different cities praying and saying, God, I don't want to hurt anyone. I remember being in New York City just seeing gay couples walk by. I was just walking the streets. God, I don't want to hurt these people. I want to reach them with your love. And I know as I stand for righteousness that people will feel hurt, but I've got to do what's right. The more that we speak up, speaking the truth in love, the more people will hear what we are saying and recognize that we're not full of hate. But if we're called hateful, so be it. If we're called bigoted, so be it. If we're called transphobic, so be it. I just looked at my Facebook feed a moment ago, and I get this day and night. You are a disgusting human being. You know, I again, day and night, this is posted. Let's see. Right before that, I have no idea how I started following this page, but I'm disgusted. Where do these whack jobs come from? Boo. Someone then describes me as I'm a liberal who defends gays. Where in the world did that come from? Here's someone else posting, calling me an absolute joke. Here's someone else. We fact check you and you are full of blank. You're a scammer of the people. So-and-so. Here I'm called, you are blanking retarded. Your religion cannot be proven. And this is by the second, by the hour these things come in. So what? Well, we continue to speak the truth in love. Let the flack come. And if we did, if we had been, things would look very different. You're right.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to The Line of Fire. This is Michael Brown. I am delighted to be with you. 866-34-TRUTH is the number to call. Don't know if you saw this. This is published by Susan Berry on Breitbart.com 3 days ago. The president of the Coalition of African American Pastors, CAAP, that is Reverend Bill Owens, says that the Obama administration's assertion that single-sex bathrooms are discriminating against gender-confused individuals in much the same way that blacks experience discrimination in the United States is, quote, a gross insult to all who fought for equality for African Americans. He says, there is simply no relationship between the struggles that black Americans have faced and the desire of a tiny minority group to violate the dignity and privacy of women and girls. To suggest some sort of equivalence is a gross insult to all of those who marched with Dr. King and faced fire hoses and hatred in the name of equality. Well, well said. Absolutely. Charles Krauthammer has weighed in on this as well. Dennis Greb, clip number 11. The conservative political commentator often seen on Fox and his columns read nationally has weighed in on this, too. So let's listen to what Charles Krauthammer has to say about the government's overreach.
This is a major change on how we view one of the defining aspects of any person. And I think it deserves a lot more than simply a declaration that unless you accept the idea that you can declare yourself a man on a Monday and a woman on a Wednesday, and it's completely up to you, that unless you accept that, you are a bigot, and you are acting like the segregationist in the South 60 years ago. I think that is a huge step. And the use of the power of the federal government to bully, I think that's the right word, to enforce this, I think is disgraceful. It just shows how the arrogance of an administration unilaterally sort of overriding federalism, the separation of powers, we already know about that, is a terrible example for the future.
Absolutely true. Nothing major or controversial in that statement from my perspective. Just basic, simple truth that Charles Krauthammer is speaking. Okay, what do we do with this story? What do you do with this story? Chicago Sun-Times reported this 3 days ago. A man choked an 8-year-old girl in a South Loop store bathroom. Now remember, according to EqualityIllinois.us, Equality Illinois, building a better Illinois by advancing equal treatment and social justice through education, advocacy, and protection of the rights of the LGBT community, they say as a general rule, you can use the restroom consistent with your gender identity. If confronted, you are not obligated to produce identification to prove your gender, and you are protected by public accommodations laws in Illinois. So that means that this man who choked out a girl in a South Loop store bathroom, according to Chicago police, that no one could legitimately stop him from going into that bathroom because of transgender bathroom access. You said, but we don't think he was transgender. That's not the point. And I don't know why thinking people, educated transgender activists and their allies, thinking people, can't understand that if you simply say however you identify gets you into the bathroom of your choice, that that opens the door to predators, heterosexual predators. So here's what happens. There's a girl with her mother at this particular business, South Loop store in 1200 block of South Canal. The girl went to the bathroom alone about 1:15 in the afternoon. So mother in the store sends the girl to the bathroom. Seems safe enough. The woman that heard a scream from her daughter went inside to find 33-year-old Reese M. Harstern carrying the unconscious girl into a stall. He had choked her with his hands. Other people in the store helped restrain the man until police arrived to arrest him. The girl was taken to Comer Children's Hospital, but police did not have information on her condition. So this man is arrested, charged with felony counts of aggravated kidnapping and aggravated battery of a child, etc. So here's the question. How do you keep that man out? How do you keep that man out if you can use the bathroom of your gender identity? You say, but he's not transgender. He doesn't have to be. All he has to say is, I identify as a woman. Well, he didn't say anything. He just walked in. Well, in times past, you could have stopped him. In times past, if somebody saw him walk in, you could have stopped him. But now you can't. We have a meme that's getting a lot of attention on our Facebook page that simply says, you know, a year ago, if a man walked into a girl's room, here, just think, 1 year ago, a man would have been arrested for following a young girl into the ladies' restroom. Today, you could be arrested for stopping him because you don't have a right, and Target has these rules and policies. Again, friends, it is social madness. We have addressed these issues for years because we knew this is part of a larger war on gender. What does it mean? It means that we celebrate male-female distinctions, that we recognize the special place of men and the special place of women in society, that we celebrate the differences between boys and girls, not that everyone's going to fall into all stereotype patterns, but we recognize there are gender differences, not just biologically, but emotionally and psychologically, that we celebrate these distinctions within the home and the uniqueness of the mother and the father and the roles they play. We even celebrate this within the body, that we recognize the unique differences between men and women, and we celebrate them, recognizing that we each have unique roles to play within the body. And it means that we take action where we can. If you have not yet shared my call for national civil disobedience to Obama's public school transgender bathroom mandate, that is something that you can do. It's something everybody can do. So just go to the stream.org, and you'll see this right on the upper right, the most popular article on the stream at the moment. And when you share it with others, you'll be making a statement on your Facebook page, on your Twitter page. But read the article. Understand the issues. This will give you key information. If you want to dig more, click on the links within the article. That will give you more information. And together, we raise our voices, and together, we make a difference. And then we pray for hearts of compassion to those who are marginalized, hearts of compassion for those who struggle. Christian blogger and author Jonathan Merritt posted an article, Three Reasons Why the Church has Already Lost the Transgender Debate, the Transgender Conversation. I wrote an article in response and sent it to him, and he thanked me for the interaction, so he knows about my article. Why he is wrong, why this conversation is not going to be lost, and why it is anything but over. You can read that as well on the stream.org, or just go to Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. When you go there, click on latest articles, latest videos to find out all the resources that we have there. Click on our special resource offer. The Tree of Life version of the Bible is now being published by Baker Books. It's in some beautiful new editions, and we've got a special offer with a free DVD for you as well. So go to the website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, to find out about this special resource offer. And pray for us. Stand with us, friends, because together we are making a difference. My bottom line today, in the increasing darkness and madness of society, all the more does the world need the church to be the salt and to be the light. It's the question everyone is asking me. So what do we do? How do we respond as believers to the government's overreach today?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, the umbrellas are selling like hotcakes. Everybody's asking for one now. You say, what? What are you talking about? No, I'm not talking about the weather. This is Michael Brown. And I've said for some time now, when people ask me, how do you feel about the social malaise, the moral malaise, the cultural confusion, the culture wars, and the unfolding of the social madness that we're experiencing today, how do I feel? I said, I feel like an umbrella salesman in the desert, and I know the storm is coming. Well, the storm is here, friends. The storm is here. And in that sense, everybody needs to buy an umbrella. Oh, I'm not talking about selling products. I'm talking about getting a message out that people who wondered for years, why are you talking about these things? Why are you emphasizing these things? They finally started to catch on last year when the Supreme Court redefined marriage. And those that still didn't catch on, they're catching on now because these things are touching their kids in school, and they're touching medical professionals as well as educators and parents and families. So, yeah, it is time to address the moral cultural issues. That's what we do as part of the gospel. It is not our primary function, but it is part of our function. Are we not called to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world? And isn't part of that function being a moral conscience, a moral preservative, a light in dark places, an example of good works, an example of exposing darkness? That's all included in that definition. Aren't we called to be a prophetic people? Look at the prophets of the Old Testament. They stood up to unrighteousness. They stood up to wrong dictatorial decrees of the king. Even though the king had absolute power, when there was injustice, they addressed it. So for sure, we must stand up, not in anger in a carnal sense. Let it be a holy anger which leads to righteous action. We must pray for revival and outpouring. We must repent of sin in our own midst. We must not be inactive or on the sidelines. Friends, there's always going to be an excuse. Why not today? Well, you know, I'm going to have a better opportunity tomorrow. Well, I'm going to have a better platform on my job tomorrow. Well, I'm going to have my head clearer tomorrow. Well, there's always a reason to procrastinate and put things off. And I'm speaking directly to some of you. Don't put off doing what is right. As Dr. King said, the time is always right to do what's right, if not his exact words, close to them. This is the time to pray with desperation for revival and awakening. This is the time to turn to God with our own hearts, our whole hearts, and to put away that which is objectionable and that which is sinful and polluting. Now is the time for us to be people who do good, who stand up for what's right, who reach out to those who are hurting. And now is the time to let our voices be heard in the cultural madness where the Obama administration is saying to schools across America, unless you allow a 14-year-old boy to shower and undress in the presence of your 14-year-old daughter, your school could lose federal funding. Unless you allow 5-year-old kindergarten school student Johnny, who now identifies as Jane, to share the bathroom with the other little girls, that you could lose your federal funding. It's time for parents to stand up, individuals to stand up, schools to stand up, governors to stand up, legislators to stand up, and many are actually doing that. In fact, from what I know, at least 12 states have stood up already to the Obama administration and said, no, we will not accept your guidelines, and you will not threaten us with the loss of federal funding. We come back. I'm going to speak with Rachel Alexander. She is going to help us understand the legal issues here, what is actually taking place, how the Obama administration has, in fact, overstepped its bounds legally. What Title VII, what Title IX actually protect? We'll be talking with Rachel Alexander when we come back. Shake the nation, change the world.
God of light, hear our cry. Save.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So how do we walk these things out today? How do we deal with the cultural conflicts? What's a Christian response? What's a legal response? This is Michael Brown. You're listening to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Number to call, 866-348-7884. I'm joined now by Rachel Alexander. She's senior editor at The Stream. The Stream, as you know, I regularly contribute, and we have as a regular guest on the broadcast James Robison, the founder of The Stream. She's a political columnist and the founder and editor of Intellectual Conservative. And I like her bio. She's a recovering attorney and former Gun Magazine editor. She previously served as a former assistant attorney general for the state of Arizona, corporate attorney for GoDaddy Software, and special assistant deputy county attorney for the Maricopa County Attorney's Office. And she writes regularly for a number of other publications. You may have seen her on TV as a conservative commentator as well. Rachel, welcome to The Line of Fire.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I've been meaning to invite myself on your show, but just keep getting so busy, I neglect to.
Well, here we are. We took the initiative and invited you. All right, so Rachel, aside from being a mother, aside from being an outraged moral conservative, on a purely legal level, let's break down Title VII, Title IX. What were they intended to do? What did sex mean there? And how are they now being turned on their head by the Obama administration?
Well, as you pointed out in your article, which is, I can't believe it, is at like 90,000 Facebook shares. That's incredible. It was meant to apply to gender only, not transgender, not, you know, you choose your own gender. It was only meant to apply to women versus men. And so what they're doing is they're expanding the meaning of it. But to do that, you should have to go through Congress. Congress is the one that, you know, wrote that title. And they should be the ones to amend it if we're going to still amend it.
All right. And what were they each dealing with, respectively, Title VII and Title IX in the first place?
Basically, they wanted organizations, businesses, government to treat men and women equally and fairly. And if they didn't, they would withhold federal funding from them.
All right. So this would be in the workplace, in the school, settings like that. So you couldn't discriminate based on race, and you couldn't discriminate based on sex, which has always meant, and in fact, there was nothing else really being discussed when they passed these bills or wrote them into law some years ago. Sex meant, are you male or female? What's your biological sex? That's all it ever meant.
That's correct. There's nothing in the congressional record, congressional intent, that it was to apply broader than that. This is a brand new interpretation the Obama administration has come up with, which I believe is usurping the powers of the legislature.
All right. So to redefine this, let's think for a minute. Congress has debated ENDA, the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, for years, where LGBT activists have sought to insert the words sexual orientation and gender identity, saying that you cannot, quote, discriminate in the workplace over these issues. So theoretically, if you were able to insert gender identity, then let's say you have a nursery school and you've got maybe four-year-olds there in the nursery school. And here's a man who is very visibly and obviously a biological male. And he comes and says, I would like to work at your school. I really love little kids. That you could not say to that person, well, sir, you have a beard. It's clear you're wearing a wig and a dress that's going to be confusing for the four-year-olds. I'm sorry, we can't hire you. That person could then say, okay, you are violating the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, which says you can't discriminate based on gender identity. In other words, this would be the offshoot if these words were introduced. These words were never introduced. Gender identity is not part of employment non-discrimination. So the Obama administration is basically saying the law doesn't recognize it, but we're just going to change the meaning of the law. I mean, it's a complete end run, isn't it?
Yeah, and you see exactly where this going. I'm going to go. You're going to see the end of, you know, girl-only schools, you know, the Catholic girls' schools, the Catholic boys' schools. I mean, anything that gets federal funding. In fact, I bet they expand it beyond getting federal funding. I think they're going to, you know, sue them on other grounds if they don't comply. So basically, right, everyone's being treated exactly the same in every single area, including areas of sex. And, you know, I just tell my four teenage daughters, you know, bring a huge can of spark spring next time you go into the bathroom if you're worried there's a boy's going to come in, and then just spray it like crazy and scare him out of there.
Hey, listen, you're a mom with teenage daughters. You know, I could understand the stance. What about this? I was on an interview this morning for another station, and I was asked, what about the protection of girls, part of Title IX? So let's say girls' athletics, that a girl is not competing against a boy, that she can excel as a girl competing against other girls, and that there's a certain fairness in this based on biological sex and based on the fact that boys tend to be stronger and faster than girls, and then girls have their other advantages that boys don't have. But when it comes to physicality, athleticism, you have boys' teams, you have girls' teams for a reason. You have men's Olympics and women's Olympics for a reason. And the world's fastest man and the world's strongest man is going to be faster than the world's fastest woman and the world's strongest woman. So you have separate competitions. Doesn't this kind of blur that within the schools now?
You would think so. And it completely makes sense to have them separate, right, because women aren't as strong and stuff. But you know what they're going to do. The feminists like to have it both ways. And so they'll do exactly what they've done, you know, with police, firemen, you know, the army. What they're going to do is they're going to lower the standards for women. And, you know, I don't know how they're going to do it, but they'll say, okay, women all get to play soccer with the guys now, but we're going to handicap the men so the women can compete better with them.
Yeah, I mean, there has to be something. And, you know, the thing that's so strange about having it both ways, on the one hand, we're told that, like, pink and blue colors, that's gender stereotyping. And boys like guns and girls like princess dolls, that's gender stereotyping. And yet, if your little girl says that she likes to play with guns, then, oh, well, maybe she's really a boy on the inside. So it's, again, it's this having it both ways that makes no sense at all. But Rachel, as you've been on the front lines of these issues for years, is this to you part of a larger war on gender distinctions in general? In other words, that the gender binary is itself perceived as evil and constricting?
Exactly. I also think it's a war on Christians. You know, they keep pushing these things to demote Christian values. They don't want to be reminded, you know, the Bible talks about man and women and Adam and Eve are different. And so I think that's a part of it. But, right, I just feel like the feminists have been angry for years about the fact that men are physically stronger. That's generally what it comes down to. I think they have this chip on their shoulder. And so, doggone it, they're going to change the rules to make everything, you know, easier and better for women, but it has the ironic effect of this isn't helping, you know, little five-year-old girls to have, men in their bathrooms.
Right, right. And how does it in any way bring about equality or any such thing? Obviously, it doesn't. What about this, though, Rachel? You would know this better, having worked with attorneys general and things like that, but a significant number of women say that they've been sexually abused or even raped. I saw Congressman Louie Gohmert and said, as an attorney or prosecuting attorney dealing with these issues, he put the figure at 20% or more of women over the course of their lifetime would say they've either been sexually abused or even raped. Obviously, not that whole percentage would be represented there. But what do you do with these women and their sensitivities and their needs if a man goes walking into their bathroom, even if he's, quote, harmless? He's transgender, male to female, and he just wants to go to the bathroom, and he's as uncomfortable as anybody else. He's not a sexual predator. What about the needs of these women? Why are those women who would be absolutely traumatized by this, why are their needs trashed? Why is it that we care about the maybe 0.02% of the population who struggles in this area, and we trash everybody else?
Exactly. The inconsistencies with feminist positions are overwhelming. They pick and choose and have to, you know, pick one position over another because they find it more important than the other. You know, too bad if that, you know, contradicts their position here. And so they believe that the transgender thing trumps, these other women who might be victims. I mean, feminists are always crying about rape, but, you know, if you're a conservative worried about rape, then you don't count. And so I think a lot of that's what's going on. It's the conservative women who are, you know, speaking out against these transgenders in bathrooms. And so, you know, the feminists have no problem going with the transgender position instead.
Yeah, it is extraordinary. And of course, we've seen it with elections, the inconsistencies as well. Hey, if you can stay on a few more minutes, something happened today, a major victory, a legal victory. Rachel was just in on a conference call with the Beckett Fund discussing the Little Sisters ruling. I want to give you some encouragement. I've said for years that gay activists will overplay their hand, that the bullying will backfire, that the extreme nature and the extreme lengths to which things go now with transgender activism, it will push too far and people will wake up and turn back. I want Rachel to fill us in on what's happened with the Beckett Fund and an important ruling with the courts. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
The federal government is unilaterally decreeing, without a debate, without consulting with Congress, that as of now, sex is no longer, or gender is no longer a fixed category, as we have assumed for, say, 5,000 years, but actually is simply a matter of declaration.
Charles Krauthammer on Fox News. This was on Friday, May 13th. This is Michael Brown, your voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity in the midst of a society in chaos and a church all too often in compromise. I'm joined by Rachel Alexander, senior editor at The Stream and political columnist and the founder and editor of Intellectual Conservative. There's a lot of bad news. There's a lot of societal madness around us. There's a lot of government overreach, but there's also pushback taking place. Rachel, tell us about what happened, the conference call you were on with Beckett Fund today.
Basically, we just got a huge victory in the Supreme Court. The Little Sisters of the Poor is a nonprofit group of Catholic nuns, and they were not exempt, according to the Obama administration, from the contraceptive mandate. So basically, the Obama administration was threatening them with tens of thousands of dollars, maybe even millions of dollars in fines if they don't provide contraceptives to their employees. The way it's been implemented is churches are exempt, and, you know, Hobby Lobby sued, and so for-profit organizations like Hobby Lobby are exempt, but these nonprofit groups somehow, you know, snuck through the cracks. So basically, they sued in a couple different circuits, had similar lawsuits by similar organizations, and the court unanimously said the government cannot fine or tax Little Sisters of the Poor and these other nonprofit groups, and it has to give them an out so, you know, these employees can go get their contraceptives somewhere else, and remanded it down to the trial court. And because this affects more than one circuit court, I can't remember if it's two or three, there's very little chance any of the other circuits are going to try to mess with this at this point.
Got it. So this is now, what kind of hope does this give for Americans in general, be it businesses, be it hospitals, be it schools, be it individuals who are standing up against the government's overreach? Is this something that can be part of a larger precedent?
Yeah, and I'm in shock because ever since Scalia died, and, you know, the court is now 4-4, and, you know, that tends to favor the left at this point. I can't believe the whole court, even the liberals, unanimously agreed. And, you know, all I can think of is I asked the attorney, Renzi, on the phone call, you know, why did the government back down? Because the court essentially ruled, okay, well, the government is backed down on its position. So, you know, if this makes it easy, you know, we don't have to go along with mandate anymore. Well, apparently the government backed down because it kept saying this is the least restrictive means, you know, this draconian mandate. And then they'd lose in one court, and then they'd back off, and they'd say, oh, wait, this is actually the least restrictive means. And according to Renzi, they changed their opinion on what was the least restrictive means 9 times. And so the Supreme Court just finally looked at the government and said, you guys look like a bunch of fools, basically.
Hmm. Interesting. So Rachel, you've been on the front lines of conservative activism for some years with your columns, with your TV appearances, and from a legal perspective as well. As you look at the state of things in America today, is it too late for this generation to bring about moral and cultural change, barring divine intervention, barring some type of supernatural, spiritual, and cultural awakening? Have we gone too far? Has too much of the culture embraced social madness? Have too many young people lost their moral bearings? Or are there things that you believe we can still do to turn the tide?
Well, you know, I'm a believer, and so I think things are just going to continue to get worse generally. But I do think there are a couple areas that we are making inroads in, and there is some hope. Abortion is one of them, and, you know, not just because of this decision, but because I really do believe, as you know, technology and biotechnology advances, we'll be at the stage where, you know, people can't even say they need to have an abortion anymore. And I don't know how that's going to work, whether they'll be able to, you know, pull, you know, newly formed embryos out of wombs and grow them in test tubes or whatnot. But I do think there's some hope in that area. As for other moral issues, seems like there was one other one we're making some progress in. I know guns aren't really a social issue as much, but I do think the Second Amendment is one area, you know, where conservatives are still holding out, and they haven't been able to take our guns away yet.
And from your point of view, as someone who's followed the political scene for some years now, what would be the negative implications of a Hillary Clinton presidency?
Oh, my gosh, where do I start? I mean, the first thing is she'll stack the Supreme Court with leftists, and as you know how powerful the Supreme Court is, that's going to tremendously affect society. I think the next negative is she's going to usher in more of what Obama has done. We're going to see more executive orders implementing her agenda going around Congress. We're going to see, you know, higher taxes, higher regulations. You know, she's going to use it as a bully pulpit to push her morality, or lack of, you know, on the rest of us, and make, you know, all these things that we disagree with, transgender, you know, more the norm. So if you think of Obama, think of Hillary as, like, you know, going to go twice as far as Obama now.
So where does that leave you with the elections and voting? You may not have been an enthusiastic supporter of Donald Trump up to now. Where does that leave you in terms of your own position or outlook?
You know, I've always tried to be fairly neutral as a journalist, and I do write a lot of news articles for Stream, not just opinion pieces. So, you know, I've sort of stayed out of the fray. I mean, I never came out and, like, endorsed Cruz or anything, but, if I had to pick one, I would like Cruz. I think with Trump, we don't know what's going to happen. You just don't know. And so for people to say, oh, we need to rally around Trump right now, we don't know until the convention. So I just think everybody, I encourage everyone, you know, use your own mind. You know, you don't have to necessarily jump in and support him now. You don't have to come out and say you're not supporting him. Just be neutral, make up your own mind, and then when we know at the convention for sure whether there's going to be a third-party candidate running or whether the Republican Party is going to try to, you know, get somebody else in on a contested convention, we just don't know yet.
Got it. All right. I fully respect that. And if folks want to follow your work, so stream.org, where else should they look?
And when you go to stream.org, go to more and then voices, and then you'll see me. And then you can also find my articles on sites like Town Hall, Christian Post, and my own website, Intellectual Conservative.
Awesome. Hey, Rachel, thanks for joining us. It's great to be on the Stream team together on the front lines here.
I love it.
Yeah, awesome. God bless you. Thanks for joining us. All right, that was Rachel Alexander again. You can read her writing. You can read mine on stream.org. Have you shared my article yet? Yes, it has taken off. It has gone viral, and it's getting a lot of attention. It is a call for national civil disobedience based on the president's unjust edict. There's no other way to describe it. Stay tuned. We've got plenty more to come.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Shake the nation. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I remember some years back, I was so frustrated by what was being reported in the news. I was so grieved over what I felt were misleading stories. I felt that there was such bad coverage. It seemed like people were losing their minds around us or losing sense of reality around us. And I would do my best to tune in to a particular radio show that had strong conservative moral values and a strong conservative interpretation of the news just to feel like, okay, I'm not the only one who thinks like this. I haven't lost my mind. Well, many of you tune into this broadcast for the same reason, because you feel like the world is going crazy around you, and we're here to function as your voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity. This is Michael Brown. Welcome to today's broadcast on the Line of Fire. I want you to get ready to pick up your phones because I want your reaction to this audio clip. We played it before, Dennis, but I want to replay clip number two. This was produced by the Family Policy Institute of Washington. It is their YouTube channel. It was posted May 9th. And here's a representative from the Family Policy Institute speaking to students at Seattle University. Now, at a certain point, as I said when I played it earlier, you're going to begin to shake your head and say, no, you've got to be kidding me, when he asked if there are differences between men and women. So I want you to hear this. Here's the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I want you to give me your reaction to this audio clip. Let's listen.
I think that gender is fluid, so if you want to use a bathroom because that's a place and that's a space where you feel comfortable and safe in doing so, then I think that that's completely fine.
I think that if whoever you think you are, if you're male or female, then that's the bathroom you should go into.
I think if it doesn't really negatively affect anybody, then I think anyone should be able to choose what gender they choose to identify as.
People, no matter what their gender identification is, they should be allowed to use whatever restrooms they feel like they identify with.
Is there a difference in your mind between men and women?
No, yes. Possibly.
In general, yes. But I don't know why I think that.
Socially, currently, yes, there is. There is no need for that difference to exist, scientifically and logically.
If you think that you're a male, if you think that you're a female, that matters more than the biological difference.
There's not much difference besides what society forces onto people.
There's no difference between men and women scientifically and logically. No difference except what society forces on them. What's your response to that? As a fellow human being, as a male or as a female, as a person, what's your response to that? If you're a young person listening, if you're a college student, is this the kind of ideology that you're hearing at your schools? That gender distinctions are antiquated? That the idea that you have a gender binary, that there are men and women and that there are distinctions between them, that this is something to be mocked or discarded or just some antiquated concept that we've outgrown? Is this what you're hearing? What is your response? Or do you agree with this? 866-348-7884. I'm going to take calls on the other side of the break. Norway is considering passing a law. Apparently, there's little resistance to the bill from what I'm reading on Breitbart.com. in Norway, you no longer be required to undergo any physical transformation, hormone treatment, sex change surgery, psychiatric exams won't be required, nothing. If you want to make a legal gender change, legal as in legal, if you want to make a legal gender change in Norway, you can just click on a button, click on a website and say, yes, I'm no longer male, I'm female. I'm no longer female, I'm male. Click on it, and the government will then recognize it. That will become your legal identity. And I imagine you could click back the other at another point. I wonder how many times you'll be allowed to change per year, per week, per day.
Fire we want, for fire we please. It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. What's your take on this clip where a gentleman from the Family Policy Institute of Washington is asking students on the campus there in Seattle, are there differences between men and women? Only what society says. What's your take on this? You get to weigh in now, starting in Raleigh, North. We don't start in Raleigh. We start in Richmond, Virginia. Bill, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Yeah, hi, Michael. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
It just kind of grieves me because I see so much confusion over this, something that seems so logical to me. You know, being a Christian and having my eyes open, sometimes I wonder if that's the difference, why I see this so clearly. And if I wasn't a Christian and I was going to college and getting a lot of the propaganda and stuff, you know, where would I be at the time? It just seems like there's so much indoctrination that
Bill, let me ask this. Even as a non-Christian, isn't this kind of basic common sense that there are differences between men and women, not just biologically, but socially and emotionally, and you know that we really are same species but very different? You know,
absolutely. I think the guy that wrote "Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus," I don't even think he was a Christian, but he wrote it on logical kind of thing. The differences, you know, between men and women, and you know, does it. Author I really respect, Dr. Steve Brown.
Mm-hmm.
He's a pastor at Key Life Ministries.
Yeah.
And he says something that really struck with me is that, you know, any kind of sin, whether it's, you know, homosexuality, you know, promiscuity, you know, fornication, whatever it is that we all struggle with different things. It's just that if we don't admit that it's wrong, then we burn the bridge that gets us to God. That gives us a hug from God. I like the way he phrases it.
Yeah. And Steve Brown, just to jump in, he is a strong grace preacher. In other words, he's not one who's going to, quote, beat you over the head with the Bible. He's talking about the love of God, but it's by recognizing our sin and our weakness that we get driven to God and receive his love.
Absolutely, and that's what's pop. I have a nephew. He's gay, and he married a man. And you know, and I go up and see my family in Boston and visit him, and he knows where I stand, and I'm still going to love him and his partner.
Exactly.
But if he was to ask me and say, "What do you think of me and Ray, you know, being married?" I would have to say, you know, Scott, I love you. I don't agree with it, but it's not me. It's what God's word says in the Bible. I'm still going to love you guys no matter what decision you make, but I can't agree and go along with what you're doing.
Yeah, and the bottom line, when we're to focus on the gender issues again, we really have this situation where there's a war on just fundamentals. And you started with a spiritual statement, so I want to go back to that. Yeah, ultimately it is God's order. Ultimately it is gender distinction. The fact that there are people, the tiniest minority of society, that have ambiguous genitalia or some biological or chromosomal disorder of another kind, that's all the more reason to have compassion on that tiny minority. But again, you do not say there's no such thing as sight because you have blind people. There's no such thing as hearing because you have deaf people. There's no such thing as gender distinction because you have those who struggle with gender identity or have abnormalities. That's what we're faced with. Bill, thank you. And indoctrination, you better believe there's indoctrination. You think these college kids just on their own came up with this idea? You think just on their own they came up with this idea that there's no scientific or logical reason to say that men are different than women? Did they just come up with that independently? No. There's indoctrination, either through the media or through social media, or all of the above, through the education that they are getting and the radical ideology of some of their professors. We go to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Michael, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown, for taking my call. It's a blessing to be on the show today. Yeah,
Thank you.
I wanted to comment on the video, or sorry, the sound clip that you played just the session before about with the students that were, you know, kind of giving these testimonies about how they thought. You know, and I work with young adults in my church here in Pittsburgh, and you know, one thing I realized, I grew up went to a high school that was very liberalized. One thing I'm noticing is that, you know, it really starts with like the public schools. You know, kids are, you know, coming into schools now, they're being indoctrinated so early, you know, in their education. And so they're not taught to think. They're not really taught to ask questions in ways that are going to be really allow them to look at every angle of a question or a perspective or, you know, idea. And so by the time they get to college, you know, they run into these strong ideas and they're being pushed into, you know, these different directions. And a lot of times because of the family unit, you know, in the nation now, you know, families are disengaged from their kids in education. You know, I work with a lot of African-American students and they, you know, their parents aren't involved in school. They're not involved at home a lot of times too. And so their kids are, you know, getting information from wherever, you know, and there are people out there, the schools is particularly that, you know, give them what they desire so that they, you know, there seems to be people in society that have their ideas and they want to rule in that way. And but one thing that really kind of struck me about the one comment on the sound clip was, you know, he said that, you know, society is forcing these ideas on us. But no, but we are the society. We are the people who come up with these ideas. It doesn't necessarily mean that we have to disagree, but we don't necessarily ask questions to whether or not we know if it's right or wrong. And I always tell my kids in college, like, taste and see that the Lord is good. How could you know who God could be if you don't actually ask questions and that you don't actually go to the point of your skepticism and really kind of seek out what truth is from a humble heart?
Yeah, so, Michael, you make a number of good points. The indoctrination of kids from very young ages, there are some different ideas, very radically different ideas that many educators have. And there is even, we have a complete moral relativism where there are no absolute rights and wrongs, a complete departure from the foundations of American education that emphasize biblical truths and biblical law and biblical rights and wrongs. That was for the first through the colonies and then probably into the mid-1800s, that was a major part of our school education. We've gone now to the point that it's not just moral relativism, it's reality relativism. Perception becomes reality. And then when you get into the college and university setting, there are professors with very radical ideas. Look, there is a reason, friends, that very few prominent conservatives are invited to do commencement addresses at our colleges and universities throughout America, that for many years now, the universities have been largely influenced by a radical liberal agenda. You'll find, for example, tremendous hostility to pro-life positions on our campuses. You'll find tremendous hostility towards the idea of one true God on our campuses. You'll find tremendous hostility towards the nation of Israel on our campuses. Why? Is it just coincidental? Look at this email I was just sent. UCLA students threatened online for claiming. Are you ready for their claim? Are you ready for their crazy claim? Are you ready for this wild, insane claim? Quote, there are only two genders. They've been threatened online for putting out such a radical position at UCLA. But one last point to reiterate that Michael has made, then we'll take some more calls. Parents, get involved with your kids. Find out what they're learning at school. Talk to them each day. Look at the textbooks that are used in their classes. I don't mean you have to read through every line, but look, especially as they're younger and they may not be able to articulate that well what they've learned. I'm looking at a note someone just sent me privately on Facebook. I emailed the principal of the public charter school my teenage daughter attends and asked him to defy the mandate of Obama to make school bathrooms gender neutral. He said that he does foresee having that issue with the school, but seeking advice on how to be in compliance without threatening the safety of female students. But he did say that he shares my concern. I would hope that he would simply say, I'm not going to comply, and the school will not comply. If enough schools do that across the nation, instantly, the Obama administration's bullying will backfire, and instead, moral standards will be raised while we do our best to help the one or two students in 1,000 that struggle in these areas. But parents, get involved. Thank you, Michael. We'll be right back with more of your calls, 866-34-TRUTH.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
And there's nothing better in life than living your life authentically. Thank you.
That was Bruce Jenner. That was Bruce Jenner. It sounds like a man's voice. It is. It's Bruce Jenner. There are reports he was receiving an award and speaking at a GLAAD meeting, Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, now just known as GLAAD, the 27th annual awards meeting. And he's talking about living his life authentically, living one's life authentically. Listen, I'm all for authenticity, but there are people who are confused. There are people who are mentally and emotionally confused. And confusion about identity is very, very prominent in our society today, to the point that you have some people that suffer with what's called multiple personality disorder. You have other people who suffer with what's called body identity integrity disorder, where they don't believe they should have a right leg or a left arm. There are others who suffer with what used to be called gender identity disorder, but that has now been changed to gender dysphoria. These are very real struggles that people have. I was asked on a liberal website during an interview last week, is this real? Transgender struggles, are they real? I suggest they're very real. It doesn't mean that the man is really a woman, but the struggle is very, very real and very deep. There are reports denied by Bruce Jenner's rep that he's struggling. He's having a hard time living as a woman. He's lonely. He wants to be with another woman. But since he identifies as a woman and he identifies as a Christian, interestingly enough, and a conservative, political conservative, that it'd be wrong to have same-sex relations, so he's considering detransitioning. Either way, my heart goes out to him, and I pray that he will find wholeness. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Braxton in Dallas, Texas. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi. I was listening, and I heard that video of the college student. You can hear me, right?
Yes, I can.
Okay. So I just finished my second year of college. I've kind of noticed that the foundations of what we believe is really being shattered. You know, we know that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and we know that God is not the author of confusion. I've noticed that, you know, like it said in the video, it's like biologically or scientifically, identifying as a man or...
Yeah, let me just fill folks in. For those that didn't hear this, this was the Family Policy Institute of Washington. They were interviewing college students at the university in Seattle, and they were asking them, is there a difference between a man and a woman, or between male and female? And they were responding saying, well, really, no, or there's no scientific or logical difference. Again, it is utterly and completely mind-boggling, but yes, that's what they actually said.
And it's really interesting, and it's a really major point that people have brought up is like...
Yeah, Braxton, somehow we lost you. Don't know what happened. It sounded like you paused for a minute, but we lost you there, sir. Look, to say there is no scientific or logical difference between a man and a woman, you might as well say there is no scientific or logical difference between the colors of black and white. There is no scientific or logical difference between someone who's 7 feet tall and someone who's 5 feet tall. There's no scientific or logical difference between a bird and a fish. You might as well just keep going down the line. We have lost touch with reality. That's what we're dealing with. We have gone from relative morality to relative reality. And if we who know the Lord can't stand for reality, what can we stand for? Let's go to Fremont, California. Dennis, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. I love you. I pray for you. Thank you for taking your stand. Here's my concern, is that when you're saying that, and I know there's some truth to what you're saying and the way you're saying it, but I think we could be a little more precise in how we present this. The idea that somehow we're trying to help, you know, one fraction of a percentage to help them because they're confused about their identity, and putting the 99 point whatever percent in jeopardy as far as anxiety and fear and concerns about a biological male being in a woman's bathroom. I want to say I don't think we're helping the less than the 1%. I think we're enabling them in deception and in empowering them to continue down a path that leads to destruction. Love speaks truth, and we ought to tell people, look, that Jesus isn't called Jesus for nothing. He's the deliverer. He delivers from every sin, from alcoholism, drug addiction, depression, homosexuality, fornication, and gender confusion. And we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. So I think that what the administration is doing is enabling sin, enabling darkness, and leading potentially tens of thousands of children into confusion and bondage.
All right, so let me tell you where I agree and where I disagree. I agree in that ultimately we're not helping people. Ultimately, we are not helping people with their confusion, and that there are better solutions than, say, hormone blockers for the kid beginning at the age of 9, and then sex change surgery maybe when they're 18, and then hormones for the rest of their lives. There must be a better way than that. But Dennis, I want to emphasize that you have kids, 3 years old, that through no choice of their own, in other words, it's not like they were brainwashed by gay activists and said, I'm going to get on the transgender activist bandwagon, that rather, at a very early age, they struggled. You read the stories and they are painful. Here's a kid, you know, the boy when he showers that he covers his private parts because he's embarrassed because he thinks he's a girl. And kids that cry themselves to sleep every night hoping they'll wake up the opposite gender in the morning, and they don't. So I always want to be compassionate to those who struggle. No, I don't believe, I agree with you, I don't believe that we help Bruce Jenner by embracing him as Kate and giving him a reality TV show and naming him Woman of the Year. I absolutely agree with you. I don't believe that we helped him in doing that. At the same time, if he came walking into our church as a stranger, carrying a Bible, wearing a dress, wearing a wig, I'd want to take him out for lunch and reach out to him and show him the love of God and help him find wholeness so that his insides agreed with his outsides. Hey, Dennis, thank you for the call. Much appreciated. All right, friends, may I encourage you to let us be your voice and to take advantage of the resources that we have. By God's grace, he's given us a large platform. By God's grace, we are able to touch people around America and around the world through this radio broadcast, through our videos, through our articles, through our books, and the vast majority of material that we have, you can share for free with others. So go to the website, askdrbrown.org. If you have not yet shared my article on the stream, A National Call for Civil Disobedience, please share it today. It's really taken off. It's been shared more the second and third days than it was on the first day. Get the message out. Let us be your voice. Together, we're making a difference. And stand with us. Your gifts, your finances, help us do the work that we're doing today. My bottom line today is an attempt to silence your voice, then speak up all the more loudly and clearly.